In the introduction to his new book on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Marshall Frady quotes King's biographer David Levering Lewis. Lewis wrote of the nation's canonization of Martin King. According to Lewis, we have sought to remember King by forgetting him. Marshall Frady proceeds to recall the forgotten King as well, not just Martin Luther King of the first half of his ministry, rallying moral outrage at the Jim Crow South. Frady is also interested in King's second, broader mission. The civil rights leader trained his attention on poverty and on the war in Vietnam.
He became, in a way, a kind of tragic, heroic prophet to the country at large, not just exclusively a great civil rights Moses and just simply a racial figure. In the course of that expansion of what was always implicit, in fact, in what had begun in the South, in Montgomery, many of his past liberal supporters in the North, and indeed many within the civil rights movement itself, began to fall away. And he began to meet with considerable backfires from those who had been, throughout the Southern phase of the movement, most close to him and anguished over it. But he simply could not stop. He had been captured, in a way, by this moral mission. It wound up just simply taking him over and propelling him to larger and larger challenges. The Poor People's Campaign, which among a lot of its impulses was to impart a conscience to capitalism, about which King had always been somewhat dubious. He was, in fact, it's just unavoidable, a kind of Christian socialism. And that really came into play in that second half of his life. But he finally found himself virtually alone, really, toward the last months and in that far country, which is the true terrain of all real prophets, ultimately.
In reading your book about Martin Luther King Jr., and this is a man whom you covered on occasion when you were covering the civil rights movement in the South, I was struck by things that I guess we know when we simply read the date of his birth and the date of his death. This was a man who, when he was first a minister and when before that was a student, seemed unusually mature and old for his very young age. And when he died, you have to pinch yourself to remember how young he was.
It's incredible. He began as in Montgomery as a 26-year-old young minister just out of graduate school in Boston. And it was only just the short span of, some 12 years before the balcony in Memphis. And what began to momentously gather over that very short and abbreviated span of time is just incredible.
Toward the end of your book, you acknowledge that people who worked alongside Martin Luther King and you yourself have had to wonder, what would he be like today if he had survived into his early 70s? Where would he be? I mean, would he have his own show on MSNBC? Would we be reading op-ed page articles? You say no. He would have been heading for the lonely role of the prophet all those years.
Well, he was already headed in the direction of that desert before he was killed, and in fact was already in decline before Memphis, already in a kind of eclipse. And the best surmises from those who knew him at that time was that he was already on his way to drifting toward a kind of marginal irrelevance, in fact, and becoming a kind of a tedious and persistent but increasingly less meaningful scold in the national life. And Memphis, in that terrible way, that abrupt, violent death has of defining and editing and indeed exalting, he was transfigured into the figure that is still being celebrated.
Well, Marshall Frady, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
Marshall Frady is the author of Martin Luther King Jr., a new biography in the Penguin Lives series.